But that was sort of the making of him. I mean, he did some freakish stuff, but nothing up until then was really under serious pressure.
Yeah. I was sitting there in the press box and had to write a column on the deadline, and it was sort of like, what do we do? What do we do? And then bang, and it's like, a star is born. And it was literally that immediately. It was that tangible that this bloke is a superstar. We'd seen it before, and it was magical.
Well, it's just the moment. I can't remember who was on him, but he was on all game, and then it just so happened that that last point, because he was kicking so well, you didn't want the ball in anyone else's hands. And that for me, and we'll speak to Hodgie in a minute, and I'm sure he would remember that exact moment as well.
All right, we'll go to Luke Hodge now, who joins us from Brisbane. Hodgie, do you remember the moment the boys are speaking about involving Buddy?
I do remember Jordan bowling the football and going across.
No, the Buddy memory.
the Buddy one. I do. Like, I think it's one of those ones, as you said before, it's we always knew this bloke had so much ability. He could run, he could do whatever you wanted, but then on a big stage, our first final as a group, we'd been playing together for five, I think it was my sixth year to play my first final, and for a 21-year-old, I think he was, to stand up and kick seven, and I think it was 13 seconds left on the clock when he kicked it through, so it was a great memory.
And you were banged up that day as well, is that right? Were you injured and came back on and had some influential touches?
I don't know more than I think everyone else. I think Adelaide were a pretty physical team back then. And I think I collided knees or something like that. But, when you win, the pain seems to go away pretty quickly.
I reckon it was a game where who did we tag? Andrew McLeod, maybe.
Vanders.
Richie Vandenberg went to Andrew McLeod. And it was just a directive from coach. You just got to make this guy, he's going really physical, because he was the star of the Adelaide side of that point. But, great memories. Great memories.
Hodgie, your memories of one that did get away, 2011, the prelim, and that's almost my favourite game. Obviously, Hodgie, Buddy from the boundary line with Chris Tarrant there, hot on his heels, and then Luke Ball kicks that snap. What's it like in a preliminary final when you know you've got so long to come back to that moment again, and you know obviously your amazing run started quickly after that?
I guess we're the same, and we're a pretty young team then. Yeah, we had some success in 2008, but in pressure situations, I think our group didn't handle them that well. If you look at that game, you look at the grand final the following year, you look at the prelim the following year as well, where Adelaide almost beat us. We didn't handle the pressure situations. We made silly skill errors, we made silly mistakes, and the opposition took advantage. And as you said, the Collingwood game, as much as it hurts to flick it on the other day and watch it, I think it was Swanee kicked that snap, Bud goes down, kicks the little dribble on the outside of his foot, and then Bawley, who I've never known Bawley to kick over 30 metres his whole life, and he all of a sudden does his snap from 45, which puts him in front. So, with the memories that we've had some good and bad ones, but those ones always stick out.
You had to relive it live on TV over the weekend.
Yeah, it was good, and it's not mainly probably because we lost, but it's not a game that you automatically... I don't watch a lot of football of games that I was involved in, but you don't necessarily go back to games that you've been a part of a losing side. But I remember the lessons from that game and from previous games that we lost, big games that you take and then implement them so you become successful in a way. But it was good, even to the point where the game was late in the fourth quarter and Collingwood hit the lead, and I had goosebumps as I was recalling the game. Now, you know the result, you know how it's going to unfold, but just good games, no matter where or when you watch them, just grab you. And one thing I kept thinking was, how important are our crowds? So coming off the back of round one, I knew we had to play the game, but then you just think, oh, how good's football with the crowds that we have?
Hodgie, 2015, your final series is the stuff of legend, not all of it positive though. You got done for drink driving and somehow you were able to play all four finals. Your first one though, you had 29 possessions, but after it, Mark Robinson lined you up. We were going to just reunite you two. So the first sentence is, snap out of it, Luke Hodge. You talk about being an idiot. Hodgie was sheepish against the Eagles. In essence, he played like a scolded child. Now, you bounce back and you go 24 and 4 goals, 25 against Freo, 30 in the Normie with an amazing goal. But take us through, you know, that final series and how it started, because it was pretty controversial.
I guess we had a fair build-up with all the media stuff because of the drink driving. And I guess from that, we sort of spoke about, put it behind us, we'll go over there and play footy. But I guess it was the elephant in the room. I remember Clarko, he put me on the half back line because he reckons I'll be trying too hard and do something stupid if I play in the middle. And I think Sam Mitchell had a pretty good game, but you said it wasn't our normal ferocious team that we played. Like we played some good football in 13, 14 because we were hard and physical. Over there in Perth, West Coast just beat us up. They had, I think it was, they call it the West Coast web on such a small, narrow ground. And we couldn't get our ball movement going. They were first to the ball. They were harder than us. And Robbo wrote an article on the Monday, which it kind of stuck with us. I think I read the article before every game, before the next final against Adelaide, then the prelim against Fremantle. And then grand final week, I think it was on the Tuesday. And I said to him, I said to Clarko, this has given me a bit of motivation throughout the week. So I sent the article that Robbo wrote to Clarko and said, if you need any motivation, which is a grand final, you probably don't. But he printed the article out. And as we walked in on our last meeting before the grand final, he had the article sitting on each of our seats just to read through it. And he knew that he had a pretty resilient group, a pretty pretty proud group. He knew that he was going to get a response from it. So there's no doubt that article definitely helped us along the journey.
So you have 30, you kick that amazing rainbow goal, you get the normie. I go and write this story about you. You wouldn't even talk to the Herald Sun afterwards. I think you spoke to Pete Hanlon, who might have written your book. You held it that firm even after the success that you were so filthy about this story.
No, it wasn't Phil. I think Cyril won the normie in 15.
15,
yeah. I think Louis had his hand up for it as well, and so did Mitch. And Cyril, that's what Louis said anyway.
Raffle.
But no, I don't think it was filthy because it was a fair assessment of how we played. Trust me, what Mark Robinson wrote about the article and what Clarko gave his feedback post game and on the Monday and how we felt ourselves. We understand in the AFL industry, you're going to get feedback. Sometimes good, sometimes not so good. But we understood that it was coming just because of how we felt post that game. Did it spur me on? Yes, no doubt. And I'm talking to a few of the other guys when they read the article that gave them a little bit for grand final day as well.
So it was more that, you know, that it wasn't that the story was incorrect. Is we can't do this again. That was the motivation.
Yeah. And to paint a little picture. So Robbo was meant to be in your seat, Ralphie, yeah. And he's blamed his two dogs because I don't reckon he wanted to come face-to-face with Hodgie.
Oh, scared.
Robbo's mentioned to me a couple of times and he's almost taken credit for our fight back.
Oh, of course he would.
He put us on edge.
Yeah, he would have, no doubt.
I wrote the story about the drink driving. I apologise for that. When he's won a lot of Norm Smith medals, so you get confused. Now, you know, you do it all for the team. When in those moments before the Norm Smith's about to be announced, you go, geez, I hope I win this.
You don't give two hoots about the Norm Smith, to be honest, and that's no disrespect for the award. No doubt when you've finished, you appreciate them, but you've just gone to battle with your teammates, and people always say that you play footy to play in grand finals and win grand finals, and after losing 2012, that's the worst feeling on a football field that I've ever had. So when you're hugging all your teammates, you're hugging your coaches, the players who didn't play on the day but were still a part of the journey, you're more worried about walking up there and getting a premiership medal with your 21 teammates than getting an individual award. When footy's finished, yeah, it's all great, and you can tell stories about it to your kids when they're rolled up, but it doesn't pass through your mind at one stage post the game.
So you're stuck at home at the moment. You got four boys. How are they travelling? Any fights today?
You're about to go to bed, aren't you? We're keeping you away from your bed.
I'm seriously, if I'm looked tight, I've had a shower, I'm better go straight and jump to bed. They're all in bed.
Oh, you're old.
I am old, but no, it's a good. We've got a really good routine. They get up in the morning. They have breakfast. They play basketball. They fight. They come in for a snack, and then they go and play handball, and then they fight. And then they have lunch, they go and swim in the pool, then they fight, they have dinner, they fight, they go to bed. It's in a really good routine we've been going for 2 weeks. I'm looking forward to the next 4 months doing this.
How often do you beat them to bed?
I normally battle the youngest one. Not the youngest anymore. Leo, the third one. We've got too many now. Can't keep count. I normally battle Leo to be the first in bed around about 6:37. And the two older ones try and fight to stay up a little bit later. But the weather, I don't mean to rub it in down there, but the weather's been 28, 29 last few days, and that's the forecast. So that ties as well.
Unbelievable. And you did debut for Channel 7, which was a funny sort of round. How did you enjoy that and calling a game with no crowd?
It was weird, mate. It was something. The first goal, I think Edwards kicked the first goal of the season, and normally the crowd goes bananas, especially the Richmond supporters. You had to actually wait for the ball to go through and then see what the umpire was going to do because you weren't behind the angle where he kicked it. So to try and get the players, you could sort of see the players were going over the top, trying to pump each other up and get the atmosphere going. But it was so weird when you look at round one and there's only 90,000 people for the first game, and then I think it was Collingwood Bulldogs the second game, and that's normally 40 or 50,000 at Marvel. It was one of the weirder feelings I've had, but it was great to have footy back. But there's no doubt that footy is only great. It's a great game. I love footy, but it only makes it so special having all your supporters and all your fans there watching and going and I guess joining in with you.
How'd you go, Geordie? A little bit of sort of WhatsApp feedback for him in his first official Friday night Channel 7 game, the new era.
Well, I was in the SEM, the Croc Media box. So I was looking over and he's all suited up. And because on radio, you're not on TV, I just had a T-shirt on, tracky pants. It was quite nice.
Every time I looked across, yeah, he was eating.
That's one of the great things in the media box, isn't it? Pies, sausage rolls.
Yeah.
Hodgie, what kind of contact are you having with the Brisbane Lions players, your former teammates? Obviously, a lot of them you've got great relationships with. Are any of them kind of coming to you for advice on how to handle this really strange situation?
You sort of cross paths up here with the Lions boys, just going to a park and doing a running session. We're sort of still trying to keep fit, even as hard as what it is. Just taking the boys down to the park and having a run. You're running to a few of them, but we catch up a lot through Zoom. As Louis knows, I'm not the best with technology, so you try and keep chatting to them as much as you possibly can. And if they've got any questions, I think the main thing for footballers is keeping a routine. If you're going to bed late, you're waking up late, there's less chance you're doing your session. So that's one thing we've been trying to push to them, making sure you stick to routine, up early, get your exercise done in the morning and try and think about footy as much as you can, because if you go through the next 3 months and you haven't thought about your game style, haven't thought about your game, it's amazing how far you'll drop behind than the people that are thinking about footy most of the time.
Are you thrilled that you're not playing footy? We all felt you could have gone on and you made the right decision, but I mean, to have such a disjointed, you know, potentially final year, it's going to be pretty weird. I mean, you clearly made the right decision. You're happy you did.
Yeah, without a doubt. And especially having Tanner, who's, about 4 months. So trying to go through this, training as a professional athlete, eating healthy, doing all the right things to prepare for whenever football comes back, whether it's a month, eight weeks, 3 months, who knows. Definitely right now, the footy would be on the back burner, especially looking after the kids. As I said, it's a pretty hectic schedule we've got. Trying to squeeze in, you know, a full-time, I guess, training schedule with it would be too hard. So I'm wrapped that I made the decision to hang the boots up, but also I feel for the guys who have to put up with all the training, but also looking after their kids and family and trying to entertain them as well. It'd be so hard for them.
How would Birch be going? Yeah, he's got up there, missed round one, I think. He's, you know, potentially smaller list sizes. You know, it'd be a tough initiation for him.
Yeah, obviously, this puts a spanner in the works because he went through and he trained so well over the pre-season. He felt a little bit of soreness leading into round one, and it just wasn't worth risking him, especially how his last couple of years have been. So one positive about it is he's still running. I see him running up at the park three times a week. He's kicking the ball. He's moving around. I think he's just the same as every other player out there. He just wants footy to come back so he can, I guess, play the game that he loves. And I guess it's been a fair stint for him, having three years that haven't gone to plan.
Hodgie, awesome to catch up with you. Thanks for taking the time. And thank you also to Channel 7 for allowing us to chat to you. We are disappointed Mark Robinson hasn't been here to come face to face with you. But we will let you go to bed because that busy schedule tomorrow with the boys of playing and running and kicking and fighting sounds like a good fun.
Excellent. Thank you. You guys have